Yeah, I've been gone for quite a while now, to the point where everything I was going to talk about and discuss has literally become irrelevant. I literally have no starting point other than this COVID-19 bullshit that's going on. And as you can hear, I've got some sort of cold. I really, really doubt that it's COVID, as you could hear from my groundy, muffled, disgusting voice. But I did decide to do the podcast regardless, because it's been long enough, and I feel like I really need to jump back in the pool. Just a forewarning, a little, what was it called, a prelude or whatever, a little warning for you, I guess I'll just call it that. These ideas and thoughts I have had are not expressly viewed by Gold Star Media, to start off with. This is just the delusional, mad thinkings of a deranged Machiavelli in lockdown. So do just take everything I'm about to talk about with a grain of salt, and don't get nervous about this being a truth, and please don't consider this liability for any lawsuits. I don't have money, and you're not going to get anything off me other than sending me to jail, question mark? So with that said, let me start the episode off with thanking you guys for hanging in there and waiting for another Machiavelli's Mind. I know it's been quite some time, but like I said, with the internet connectivity that I have, which is garbage, thanks Frontier, and complications, especially with this COVID-19 bullshit going on, I haven't been able to record. So thank you for your patience, and let's delve into Machiavelli's Mind. Usually I'd have a little guideline chart where I would like to go with this little topic, but I haven't prepared anything, and I don't think I'm going to be preparing anything for quite a long time. So let me start off by saying, yet again, this is all subjective, this is not facts, this is all just conspiracy theories thought up by a madman, so don't take this out of context, don't freak out, and don't sue me. Let's start off with a lot of months back. Last year, maybe middle of last year, whatever. I just want to start this off with the forest fire. Not the more recent one, but the one before that, the Amazon fire that grew exponentially that nobody seemed to give a shit about. But people gave a shit about, but really didn't do anything about it. Well, before that, prior to that, I believe the country wanted to expand its territory. And because the forest nearby was protected by guidelines and statutes of limitations, all that kind of bullshit, they could not expand. So, what I feel like they did was they accidentally somehow started a forest fire, and it grew exponentially throughout. Because if you recall back, people were offering to help, and the president of whatever that country was at the time stated that they do not want or require the help of anybody or anything. They're handling it, it's fine, it's all going to work out for the best. Now, to most people, that's some shady shit. And to me, that's extremely shady to me. I don't think that was legitimate. I think that they started the forest fire in order to burn out some more landscape and go, well, forest is gone now, no need to protect it, let's start building. And I think that's how that one started. Now, fast forward a couple months later, well, maybe more than a couple months, the Amazon rainforest fire. Now, people were all freaking out about it and crying and all that stuff, and the Academy Awards were patting themselves on the back going, yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how this is a terrible thing and that we all should think about it and the rainforest is good and blah, blah, blah. And I believe Ricky Gervais was the one that said, guys, we're all literally millionaires. We have mansions. We have all this fucking money and cash. Why the fuck are we not sending money? Sending prayers doesn't necessarily mean shit. But if we actually wanted to save the thing, we would go out and send money to have this combated and to have this repaired so that we could breathe oxygen, because out the rainforest, the most major giant fucking production of oxygen, we're all going to eventually fucking die. And he got a lot of shit for that, but I think he was right. I think he was a good dude, and I think he fucking had it in him. And I congratulate him for saying what needed to be said. But with that said, let me go back to the original thing. Because months earlier, a lot of months earlier, they saw that the forest fire in that other place was working out for them, I think the nation that is kind of nearest to the forest of the Amazon wanted to do something similar. And what better way to do expansion in a very protected zone than to have an accident happen? And I'm sure they quote unquote looked into it, but you know, like I said, it's all thoughts that I had prior to even COVID, thinking about this, sitting there going, you know, that's a really scummy business strategy, but as long as you have the money to shut some people up, they ain't gonna do much research into it. Like I said, they'll just send thoughts and prayers, and which is all well good, but the thing about that is you also have to have some sort of financial stability to reconstruct the thing that happened. I don't know. Like I said, it's all subjective conjecture bullshit. It's not proof positive. It's just a theory. A madman's theory. But, that's just the icing on the cake. We're gonna go deep into my madness once we start talking about my thought process on where COVID-19 started from and why it actually began. So some of you might be wondering why in that previous little segment I decided to talk about the forest fire thing, and why I thought that one would make the other think that they could get away with it. So let me go into the whole thought process with China. Yet again, not the opinions of the Gold Star Media, just the mad thoughts and ramblings of a madman, Machiavelli. This is not proof, this is not evidence, this is nothing but conjecture and bullshit. There's nothing that leads to this being facts or anything. This is all the fiction inside my head, thought process that I've had since sitting in a room, staring at a computer, or just losing my mind at my place of employment when I was there. Okay, so, how did COVID-19 start? Well, let's go back before that. There was a little display going on in China for the free rights and freedoms of the Chinese citizens. Now, initially I heard about this through the Jimquisition, which is a great YouTube channel on YouTube, obviously, led by a very flamboyant, very well-spoken and ingenious gentleman who spoke about a gaming industry thing called esports, an esports tournament where the victor went and said freedom for China or whatever the hell that was, something like that, and he got banned from it because Blizzard was afraid that China would stop airing their stuff in China, and China is a big fucking market for that kind of stuff, and I'm sure I'm going to be banned from China after this fucking thing goes out, but I'm not making that much off the podcast anyway, it's more of a hobby. But I digress. Yet again, just the ramblings of a madman. Doesn't mean anything, and I could be easily proven wrong. Of course I will be. But it led me to believe to this thinking process because somebody told me this on Facebook. Go like, you ever think about this? And I'm like, motherfucker, you're right. You are absolutely right. That could be a theory. That might be why this happened. But it just exploded. So the Freedom of China protests were happening in the streets of China to the dismay of their leader, who hasn't been more than kosher about people insulting him, as he has banned, I believe, Pikachu or Jigglypuff, whoever was represented in making fun of him, and he got pissed off, so he banned it, and he's basically arrested people and stuff for certain things that are absolutely ridiculous. Case in point, if America was anything like China, everybody in America would be in prison or fucking executed. For how often we make fun of Trump and all that stuff, we'd all be dead. We'd all be fucking dead. So anyway, they started to do little rallies and stuff, protests against the Chinese government, wanting them to have more freedom of speech and all that kind of shit. And that little blizzard event blew it up more, so now more people were socially getting on social media and going, fuck the president, fuck Blizzard, and fuck China, and all that shit. Freedom for China. And it's nice, it's a nice thought, but yet again, it's not our culture, it's not our fucking place to get involved, but yet again, we're gonna do whatever the fuck we want, because we're America, and America rules. Woo, woo, woo. But, it's just interesting that the COVID-19 virus, during those protests, somehow got loose out of a government building. They said it started with a homeless person getting bit by some sort of bat, and that's how it developed. But it's just interesting how a virus that was designed to distance people socially, because it's so highly infectious in major crowds, it's just interesting that during the protests for freedom of China, that the virus magically appeared, especially with a government track record of not taking protests very well. I believe it was China that had the Tianwen Square or something like that. I don't fucking know. I'm not good. I'm not a history buff, and yet again, the surroundings of a madman. So don't take anything too seriously or literally. But it's just interesting that it developed in a facility quite like the Umbrella Corporation from Resident Evil video game series. And here's where the delirium comes in, folks. They have had a picture that had similarities to the COVID introduction and the similarities in Resident Evil games. First of all, Corona is almost an anagram of raccoon. The place Raccoon City was the first major outbreak of a major zombie outbreak virus in the Resident Evil series. Or biohazard for those who lived in Japan. And the logo for the company that had this developed or had found the virus is almost an identical representation of the Umbrella logo from the game. Umbrella is the evil pharmaceutical manufacturing company that developed bioweapons to sell to terrorist organizations and stuff, and you know, all that kind of fun stuff. And another thing is that one of the lead researchers was something Redfield in the laboratory or something like that. Red Chrisfield or something like that. It was a very close representation of the main protagonist of Resident Evil. One of the two main protagonists of Resident Evil 1, Chris Redfield. It's just those interesting little quirks of life that makes you go, maybe there is something to this. Maybe they released the virus to stop the protest to force people to go into quarantine because of the infection and to cause the people to stop disrupting the natural flow of their government authoritarian process. Now, like I said, it's not my place to judge. It's not our country, and we have no right to evaluate people. I mean, there's countries where they have sex with little boys. I don't agree with it at all, but it's a thing that happens, unfortunately. And there's nothing really you could do about it other than marking it up and going over there and taking it over, which would start a whole fucking thing, and I'm sure Putin would get involved and pissed off because Putin's pissed off about anything we do at this point, regardless if it benefits them or not. See North Korea. But my thought process is, I believe that that's where it may have been derived from. A very niche kind of virus that kind of exponentially grew. It really wasn't supposed to go this far, I don't think. If it was released, which I'm not saying it was, I'm just saying what if scenario. You know, kind of like those hokey-pokey books where it's like, oh, well, maybe this happened and maybe that happened. But it's interesting. And I think because of America's tourism and all that tourism in China that at the time, because the protests blew up so much because of the Blizzard announcement and all sorts of little YouTubers and stuff getting involved, so then Americans and Europeans and all that stuff had to come over and support the Chinese people in their time of need. And then when it was released or accidentally exposed, it got bigger than the Chinese government would like to admit, and they didn't foresee the inevitable explosion of the corona, aka COVID-19 epidemic, getting out there to the public far beyond their borders and far beyond what they can control. And I think that's where it originated from. Now, they're saying there's a new, little bit more violent virus that had started to develop in China. And they're saying it's a completely different thing, blah, blah, blah. I personally think that's the evolution of the virus. Just as the T-virus in the Umbrella, in the Resident Evil games from made by Umbrella, had evolved and mutated, I believe that might be the start of the COVID-19 virus mutating. But then again, I'm a psycho. I know I'm crazy, and I know I'm delusional. That's why I'm not afraid to say this, because it's all subjective. This is the ramblings of a madman. That's what you paid to... Not paid. You're not paying me. So, listen. You can listen or you can't listen. Whatever your case. The point I'm getting at is, it's interesting. And it's just something I thought about in great detail and sat there thinking about going, you know, it's pretty fucked up that nobody's really looking into it. They just go... Because China has been keeping information from us, which could help us develop the vaccine. They're not giving all the details because I think, in my mad thoughts, that they're keeping it under wraps because they're afraid of what would happen if they know, if people knew that they knowingly released a deadly virus upon their people to break up the, what is it called? Protests. But yet again, this is the ramblings of a madman. This is not viewed by the thoughts of Gold Star Media or any outlet or any participant or any possible, not vendor, what the hell, people who give you money to promote their items. Oh, goddamn, whatever. Nobody thinks like this but me. This is my own opinions. It's not even my opinions. It's just thoughts. Thoughts that I had. So with that said, maybe we need to lift up the curtain. Maybe there needs to be more interviews from people within the compound and complex. Maybe people need to look more into things. But then again, it's just the thoughts of a crazy man rambling on a podcast that hardly anybody listens to.
But those who do listen, I love you, and I want to make out with you. Possibly. Maybe. Eh.
So, speaking of Resident Evil, Yeah, I did talk about 2 back when it came out. A lot of you might be... Well, first of all, I didn't do the podcast in months, so I really couldn't hype up 3. But most of you know by now, if you're gamers, true gamers, or love the horror franchise, and especially in gaming, Resident Evil 3 Remake had come out a couple months ago, maybe last month, whatever. Maybe it was this month. I don't know. And it came out to a rounding success, for the most part. I personally would love to give my opinions on the game, even though I didn't play it or buy it, and I don't intend to play it or buy it, because what they did to Resident Evil, in my opinion, is the same thing they've been doing to the wrestling, WWE wrestling video game. And they've changed it so dramatically, so disgustingly, that it kind of ruined the game for me. Hence why, you know what, we'll talk about WWE 2K20 in the next segment. I want to focus on Resident Evil 3. And to lighten the mood a little bit from my delusional, paranoid fucking thought process on the COVID-19 situation and the forest fires, which both I had planned to do months ago, but, you know, fuck me and my internet connection. But, anyway, let's talk about Resident Evil 3 for a minute. I was highly disappointed in it. Now, I went in there with a fucking blank thought process. I didn't like the design of Jill or Chris. No, not Chris. Carlos, my apologies. I hated the mop head hair. I hated the look of Jill, how they tried to make her look like the bitch from the fucking Resident Evil movies, which are terrible. They're terrible. The only thing that was good about them is the fight scene with Albert Wesker, and even that was fucking just god-awful as he opened his mouth to deep-throat people. But, back to 3. Let's focus on 3. The remake leaves a lot of things that are going to alter the history books of the Resident Evil franchise. Case in point, in the original, I don't believe Nikolai worked for anyone other than UBCS, which he was ordered from Umbrella to make sure that there was no survivors, that the soldiers that were sent in with him, the other operatives, were there to be test subjects, just as the STARS team in the first game was to be test subjects to the develop Bows. And the UPCS was to gather all survivors that they can so they can execute them and get rid of all of the witnesses so that there's no witnesses to crimes they committed, and so that they could do a clean sweep. And to make sure that nobody would tell any tales outside of school, Nikolai's job was to execute them, as well as Nikolai's greed to be wanting to be basically the only one getting paid, as I believe that the overall paycheck was to the group. So if he's the only survivor of the group, he was going to collect the entire paycheck. Do you get what I'm getting at? So really, he didn't work for any third parties or any extra people or anything like that. We're going to come back to that. Nemesis was essentially a intelligent hybrid tyrant. And I have almost no gripes with the Nemesis in this game. The only problem I have, and I don't know if this, I can't remember if it happened in the original game, was the fact that Nemesis put parasites on the zombies in this game. Now, by the way, if you're listening to any of this, this is all spoilers, so get ready for it. So Nemesis has an ability where he can grab a zombie's face and elapse their head in a parasitic thing with a tendril that, if it gets too close to you, it will try to leave its current host and latch onto your head to become the new host. Which was an interesting idea, it's an interesting concept, but the problem with that is that if you ever played Resident Evil 4, this means that this was the first original parasite
and not the Lost Plagueis, who would be developed to turn into Ouroboros, which, honestly, the very first parasite that was used in the context was the Nemesis parasite, because it was developed to control, or enhance the capability of controlling a tyrant. So they put a parasite into a tyrant with the controllers and all that stuff. It's all convoluted nonsense, and I don't understand it, and it's game logic, so there's no need to really think about it. But the point remains is that with the development of this, that means that Nemesis was able to make host parasites other than itself in zombies. But the zombies weren't developed to be tyrants, as there's a very select few groups of people who can be turned into tyrants based on all the lore and research of the umbrella of Resident Evil's franchise, except for Survivor, which found a way to make discount tyrants in mass bulk on an island, blah blah blah, getting to lore and nonsense, which I'm going to get into a lot in this. So if you don't give a shit about Resident Evil, I would suggest skipping to the next one. But the point I'm getting at is that leads to a lot of complications in the Nemesis storyline compared to and the Ouroboros storyline, which if you haven't played 5, play 5 if you dare. But, sorry I scratched the mic, but it leads to another interesting factor where Brad was bit by a zombie. It's the beginning of the game. It's not much of a spoiler. He was bit by a zombie and it ended up turning, and then he was found out to be the one who bit Marvin, as he was one of the very first zombies who were able to actually speak sentences. Well, not sentences, a statement. As Marvin was apologizing to him for having to put him down, and then Brad said, "Sorry!" And Marvin was like, "What? Brad, are you in there?" And then Brad bit his stomach open, and Marvin escaped. But that leads to my problem with this game, is that you don't get to see Brad die in this and then fight him in 2, which in 2 you didn't fight him anyway. Which comes back to my problem with 2 and 3 remake, is that they're so fucking, railroaded, so that you don't have any side missions really. You don't have any interesting quests you could go on or anything like that. And that's, you know what, I'm going to go into the very next segment about the gaming industry and skip over that. Maybe I will talk about the wrestling one inside it. But that leads me to my problem, is that there's no expansion in the game. There's just the clear-cut, straightforward, cookie-cutter fucking Final Destination fucking storyline. There's no going through side quests, there's no special missions, no nothing, no interesting little motifs and stuff. It's all literally in the line that you're walking straight forward. And that fucking infuriates me. There used to be exploration. Like, in the Resident Evil 1 remake, you were able to explore the fucking thing. Yes, granted, it was kind of cookie-cutter, and you had to go back and forth in the mansion a little bit. But still, there was things you could do. You can get this puzzle now, and then do this puzzle later, do this puzzle now, and do the first puzzle later. And it's lost on modern. I'll get into a nice segment. But, going back to the Nikolai thing, near the end, it's found out that Nikolai was paid by a third party to betray the UBCS instead of it being Umbrella. It was a third party altogether, which means that leads up to, you guessed it, Nikolai working for Wesker. Now, in my younger days, I would have thought that was the coolest fucking thing ever, because I thought Nikolai should work with Albert Wesker, and I thought that would have been a great twist. But that rewrites history. So now Nikolai was an agent of Wesker along with Ada Wong and that fucking Kovac, whatever the guy's name was, in 4. But, so it leads me to another problem. The finale. The ending. It's not
Barry who saves you. Now that leads to a big fuck you to the original, because it's Carlos who operates the plane to chopper and gets you out. I told you there was going to be spoilers. You shouldn't have listened. Even Nemesis's transformations were interesting to me. I didn't mind the weird behemoth dog form that he took. I thought that was an interesting take on the I'm just shirtless now and I'm going to whip the shit out of you with my tendrils. And it understandably figures out why he transformed into a massive clump of flesh thanks to the new development of the story. Like I said, there's some pluses and minuses that I liked and hated about this. But overall, I don't feel like this was their top concern. I think the top concern was that Resident Evil Resistance bullshit game that they're pushing so hard. And I bet it's a great game. I bet it's a fantastic game. I just have no interest in playing it. I hate 4v1 games, and I hate all games like that. But I digress. I don't like Resident Evil 3 Remake. And that's all there is to it. Sorry for the rambling, but I was very passionate about this, and I was very disappointed from 2 and 3. And I'm so sick of fucking bobbleheads. And the fucking whatever remake is next, there's going to be more bobbleheads. Because bobbleheads is now part of the Resident Evil engine. And God for fucking bid that we have a game without bobbleheads. It's horror survival. Why the fuck do you have bobbleheads? Shit. Okay. So let's talk about my personal thought of the degradation of the gaming industry. Now, previously, I was bitching about the differences between Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes and their original counterparts from the 1994 and 1996 and all that kind of shit. My problem with the gaming industry is the fact that everything looks better. It looks polished. It looks beautiful. These games are focused so much on their looks that the gameplay fucking suffers drastically. But let me go back to the looks. Never in our time has games looked this fucking dynamic, this fucking gorgeous, this fucking unique, and absolutely breathtaking. It's to the point where you could almost, some games, you could barely tell the difference between cutscene, live-action cutscenes of people, and the game itself. They're getting so detailed to the point where you're going to eventually see every pore in every character's fucking face. You're going to not be able to, it's going to be blurring the lines between real life and video games to the point where you're not going to know the fucking difference in cutscene. I'm sure gameplay will eventually get there as well, but in cutscene fashion, it looks like you're just watching a movie and it's spectacular. Now, with that said, let me also iterate this. Video games' core mechanics is the gameplay itself. And I feel the length of the games and the sandboxiness of games has degraded very massively. What do I mean by that? Just for example, go back to the era of PlayStation 1. Go get yourself a PlayStation 1, go get Resident Evil 2, and play through the Resident Evil 2 on PlayStation 1. And tell me, first of all, it's going to be 10 times harder. It's 10 times harder than the Resident Evil fucking 2 remake. Unless you're a speedrunner that's been through the fucking game 6,000 times and know every single little glitch thing to fucking try and get through the game in 10 minutes. Which, by the way, fuck you, speedrunners. You're the mostly the reason why games are shit. But I digress. I believe that a lot of aspects, let me reword this. Let me go over this. Back in the day, you didn't have high graphics. It didn't take really that much. I mean, game development was still hard as shit. And trust me, I tried to use the VR fucking RPG Maker bullshit that I paid a ridiculous amount of money for and haven't touched since. I tried to work on an RPG thing. Now, back in the day, back in 2015 or whatever, 2006 or whatever, there was a thing called RPG Maker online where you could download the thing, and it had tons of different assets that you could use, and if you went and got the pixels, you could add more monsters and characters to the thing, even design your own, and that was fucking fun. But it was pre-set for you. It was basically done all for you. It was basically like doing Mario Maker. But, in my opinion, the graphics were lower, so it didn't hurt as much at working on the game. And you could add more levels. You could add more detail. In fact, it got to the point where if you didn't have a massive fucking game, you were wasting time and space, and nobody was going to buy that shit. They were going to buy that shit and fucking want a refund almost immediately. If it wasn't like a 3-hour fucking 2-day rental experience, nobody wanted that fucking shit. And thank God for the era of fucking memory cards. Dude, I can't tell you how many times I would fucking die in Mario and have to fucking start all the way from the beginning. Because I was a terrible gamer, and I don't care if I admit that or not. Fuck you. But, the era PlayStation was fucking a bliss for me because of the memory card. But I digress. There was so much in shit like Resident Evil, original Resident Evil, Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3, Code Veronica, etc., that you could spend hours going through the game and not get everything. There were some times where you didn't unlock everything. You didn't find everything. So there was replayability. Now look at a game like fucking Resident Evil 3 Remake, where it's handheld for you, where it fucking tells you exactly where to go, and there's no way to fucking miss anything, because on the map it has red maps that go, oh hey, yo, by the way, you missed this in this area, so you can circle back and get this now. Oh wait, you passed the fucking fire truck, so now you can't go back. Now it's impossible to get that fucking one pair of bullets. But it just tells you where all the fucking items are. It tells you that there's items that you're missing in the thing, which is nice. Don't get me wrong, but there's no exploration. There's no need to go back and go, okay, well, I forgot this. Let me go find this. Let me go back to this. Yes, I'm going to get into the gamers in a second. So hold your horses, dear friends. But the fact of the matter is that you worked for everything. You seeked everything. You've looked for every document. You looked for that 100% because guess what? You got a prize if you got everything. If you got all the documents, you got a special pistol that shot fucking fireballs or whatever. If you found all the fucking guns, you got a special fucking unlimited rocket launcher. If you beat the game without saving once, you got an alternative fucking ending. You got God mode and all that shit. You got big head mode. You got all this kind of shit. You earned what you unlocked, what you found. You took the effort to go through the game that they worked so hard to develop, and you found all the secrets and Easter eggs and all that shit, and you got rewarded for it. It was your prize for being an explorer. And that's what I grew up doing. I grew up to the point where you looked for items, you unlocked shit, and you got shit for free, as a reward for your effort put forth in the game. And that's what gaming used to be. You used to make an effort to look for stuff, to work for the goal of winning the game with all the items and all this cool shit, to unlock more shit. So if you wanted to replay through the thing, dress up as a full biker taker, undertaker motherfucker, fucking goddamn Claire Redfield looks like goddamn fucking biker taker, you could do that. You could dress up as fucking kink shame fucking Rebecca Chambers from Resident Evil Zero. You could do whatever damn well you wanted in the second playthrough with unlimited ammo and rocket launchers. You earned it. You earned that fucking shit. But now it's all either DLC or so fucking cookie cutter handheld holding that there's really no trial. I actually watched some YouTubers, and they're so fucking lazy that they can't even read the documents to go, okay, this is the code, this is what... They immediately go, yo, guys, tell me what the code is. I don't want to read nothing. I don't want to make an effort. I just want to get through this game as fast as possible and put it on my shelf and say, yep, I beat that game. Bitch, you didn't do shit. You're fucking lazy, you're a fat piece of shit, and go fuck yourself.
Oh, and people go, well, you're gate blocking fucking gaming. You shouldn't do that. Bitch, the point of fucking video games, especially a difficult one like that, is to be able to adapt and be able to play the fucking game. If you want to play it on hyper easy mode and with fucking goddamn hacks and cheats enabled, go ahead. I'm not bitching about that. But make an effort to see the fucking documents that all the fucking game developers and shit put out. Do you know how many hours it would take to write a especially back in the original Resident Evil franchise, when you're trying to rewrite a fucking fucking letter to Ada Wong or whatever, to be able to fucking be like, okay, this is this. Itchy Tasty was one of the greatest fucking documents in the history of gaming, because you read the deterioration of a scientist that finally became a zombie, and then right afterwards, what happens? The motherfucker breaks out of a closet, and it is the scariest motherfucking moment in Resident Evil. Because that fucker, you don't see that shit coming. Especially with the polygons and shit back then, you had no idea. That motherfucker busts out of that fucking closet, comes at you, you don't have time to react. You get your first hit point taken off in that, if you're perfectly running the game so far. It was incredible. It was immensely horrifying at the time. And there's really not been many games that have been able to match it. Like, even Resident Evil haven't been able to enact the Itchy Tasty fucking note. And it's synonymous with the fucking game industry. But I digress. I just hate the way gaming has become. Like I said, I think that because of game development and how fucking corporatized it is and how much they try to rush games out, we're only giving you 2 years to finish this at least 6-year game. Get it done in two. Get it out on shelves. I don't care if the controls are buggy. I don't care if there's all these glitches and stuff. We'll fix it in post. We'll send out patches. We'll get it fixed. Fuck it. These goddamn barbarians need that shit now. And it's on both sides. It's the gamers and the fucking corporate overlords of the gaming industry that ruin games for the future. People are so fucking feral when it comes to video games, especially gamers. They go, well, I want this game now. I want it now. Get me the game now. It's so good. I want it now. But then when it comes out, when it's pushed out within the 2-year mark, instead of letting it simmer over 7 years and get it fully developed, to get all these stories in there and get this so much shit put into this fucking game, hell, even a 10-year fucking gap, they want it pushed out in 2 and 3 years. And then the game comes out and it looks like dog shit. Look at Bethesda games, how much glitch they have. The fucking floating eyes and teeth bullshit. It's depressing. Games used to be complete before they come out. Even PlayStation 2 and shit, with DLCs coming on PS3, they used to be at least 90% finished. On game DLCs, another thing that pisses me off, it should come as part of the game. You shouldn't have to pay for the DLC. It should be unlockable, but yet again, people have buckled and went and gone, yes, master, I will buy your fucking DLC, and blah, blah, blah. What I'm really pissed off about is that there's no earning nothing. Everybody rushes through a game to try and get through as fast as possible without really getting into the story. Until months later, or maybe even years later, they go, yeah, I remember that game. What was that actually about? Bitch, if you played the game right the first time, you'd be reading the documents, you'd be understanding everything, and you'd figure it the fuck out. I hate that. I hate it so fucking much. Like, why even buy the game if you're not going to actually absorb the game? If you're just rushing through a game, there's no point in buying the fucking thing. You people disgust me, and it's you people who fucking do this shit all the fucking time. I at least try to play through a game and take my time with it. But everybody's in such a rush. Oh yeah, I finished that game in 2 hours. Then why did you even buy it? Why did you buy a fucking $60 game to finish it in 2 to 4 hours? Why did you not explore every crevice? Why did you not figure out everything? Why didn't you learn the lore? Oh, I don't care about reading. Reading's stupid. That's why this fucking country is so shit.
That's why this country's in the shithole as far as it is. And guess what? These fucking kids that eat Tide Pods and snort fucking condoms and refuse to read? That's the fucking future. God damn. Well, one of these fucking brain-dead morons fucking get in the office, I'm just going to blow my brains out because there's no point. Because you think Trump's bad? All you fucking anti-Trumpers? Fucking imagine one of these brain-dead mongoloid morons getting involved in the fucking goddamn government. Forget it. We're all dead. The future's fucked. Fuck games. Fucking WWE 2K20. Fucking games glitched out to shit. Those games haven't been good since since they took away button mashing and put in fucking QTEs on breaking out pins and submissions. Fuck you. Fuck the game industry. With that said, let me say this. Nintendo Switch system is fucking amazing. I haven't been a Nintendo fanboy possibly ever. I actually preferred Sega Genesis over the NES. I preferred PlayStation over the... I almost said Dreamcast. The GameCube, but I guess Dreamcast as well and Xbox as well. I never really was the Nintendo fanboy, especially when the Wii era came out and the fucking, oh god, those fucking motion controls were so stupid. They were fucking dumb. God bless Nintendo for trying something innovative and getting us our ass going. But fuck, man, those... Anyway, for Nintendo Switch, my favorite Disgaea game had come out. Disgaea 4, don't ask me what the additional title is, it's Disgaea 4. And, dude, if you love or don't mind the grind, that game is fucking great. I love the story, I love all the characters, it's literally my favorite Disgaea game, and Disgaea is my favorite gaming fucking set of games of all time. I fucking adore and love Disgaea. I love playing through it. I even bought Disgaea 1 on like 6 different systems. That's how much I fucking love Disgaea. And Disgaea 4 coming out on fucking Switch, dude, I almost came. It was amazing. I was so fucking happy. That was my second or third major purchase on the Switch. Of course, Animal Crossing I bought on the Switch and haven't played it since the second time I played it. Which doesn't mean it's a bad game, I just didn't play the fucking thing. But Disgaea 4, man. Dude, if you've never played a Disgaea game in your life, first of all, if you don't like RPGs, you ain't gonna like Disgaea. Don't even start playing it. If you don't like fucking Final Fantasy or any of the grind or anything like that, if you don't like goofy characters, don't fucking play the game. Because it's all a lot of goofy characters with some heartfelt moments and all that shit. If you don't like that Japanese-y shit, don't play Disgaea. But if you don't mind all that, or if it all sounds intriguing and wonderful, then brother, do I have a game for you. Disgaea literally almost always has some sort of overlord, a demonic guardian or whatever. And they go through some shit. The first one was about a young demonic prince who was in a comatose state who woke up to find his father had died and other demons are trying to take over his position, so he has to rise up and take back his throne and show everybody that he deserves the throne and figure out the mysteries of blah 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 blah. I don't want to spoil it because I love Disgaea and I would love people to get into Disgaea. So I just love the franchise as a whole. Do they lead into each other? No. It's like the Final Fantasy Syndrome, where nothing really keeps going, except for the fact that some old characters will appear in newer games as unlockable characters. Unlockable characters that you could earn by battling them and getting them in your party? Oh my god, what a concept! But I digress. Like I said, there's some DLC shit that you could buy, like you could buy extra experience bullshit, or statisticians in one of the games. There's
trying to explain Disgaea to a person who's never played of it and is on the fence about it is absolutely hard to do. In Disgaea, in your items, you could get villagers who live inside your item. So say you have a sword. There could be a villager who lives in your sword called a statistician. A statistician's ability is it increases your the amount of experience that you'll get from battle. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And even if you just do the base game, you can go back to old missions and level off those enemies. So you can go back to a map that has like 6 enemies straight ahead, use a special ability, kill all of them instantly, get the experience, leave, come back, etc. Fucking rinse and repeat until you're level 99. Or, in this game, you can get to level 9,999. And then, you can go in and to the fucking Congress of this fucking world and restart your character back from square one with higher beginning stats and all of the abilities that you had at like half level. So you could get an attack called like fire. Like you could do a fireball, you blow up somebody with a fireball. You could get that up to like level 99, revert back, and then you could get it at 45 at level 1, which ridiculous. You're a fucking god at that point. You can't be stopped, especially in the beginning game. But I'm rambling. I love Disgaea. It's one of my favorite fucking gaming franchises of all time, and it's so under the radar. I bet 90% of you listening to this has no idea even what the fuck this is that I'm talking about. Though it has been getting a little bit more popular lately with the 16 to 24 different console releases. That's not true. That's not possible. But I digress. Disgaea is literally one of my favorite games of all time. I actually begged my mom to get it, and they searched when I was younger, not now, for a Christmas. And they searched high and low, and they had to search for this fucking game. Because the game, even at that time, was about $70 to get. And I think they got it for cheap because the person didn't know what they had. It was an impossible game to find. And it was so fucking rare that nobody ever even heard of it. But I found it on the internet and I was like, oh my god, level 9,909. You could revert back to 1. You could get more higher stats. You could build a god and fucking play this game. This is amazing. Best game out of ever. 10 out of 10. I think it was my very first game I've ever officially beaten. That's not true. Resident Evil Survivor I beat to completion. But I think that was one of the, like, 6 games in my life that I've actually fully beaten to completion. No bullshit. Yes, I play games, but I am definitely not a gamer, folks. And I loved it. And I even killed fucking Tyrant Ball. I killed Pretty Ball. And if you know Disgaea, you know exactly what that is. God, I love Disgaea. I fucking love Disgaea. But, so yeah, if you get a Switch, dude, just buy it for me so that they release it on other platforms like Steam and stuff so I can play it on my computer so I don't have to wait for this fucking Switch to charge each time. Anyway, yeah, you should get a Switch. There's a lot of fucking fantastic games that are on there, and you can play it anywhere. And no, I'm not fucking being given money by Nintendo, because you hear my mouth and my deranged ramblings? They're not going to pay me to sponsor shit. But I'll tell you one thing. I would suck their dick for another goddamn Disgaea. Whew! Yeah. Thank you, Nippon Ichi Software. You're fucking awesome. You're fucking awesome. God, Disgaea is awesome! Alright guys, so that's the show. Hopefully it recorded well enough and it uploads pretty well. I'm trying a new procedure thanks to Bill's suggestion. Audacity, in case you didn't know. It's an interesting thing. I get to watch the meter run as fast as lightning as it records every single one of my words, and it is almost mesmerizing watching this.
I this is a trial run with this program, and if you like it, say nothing, because you won't say anything whether I ask you to or not. But if it sounds crisp and clean, I appreciate it if you give a little thumbs up, question mark? I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe I'll make a video or something. I don't know. Ooh, my stomach grumbling. Anyway, sorry for the delusional rants and just pure, absolute rage at the gaming industry. And I apologize if anybody was offended by that. It wasn't directed at anybody particular other than YouTubers that just play the game to try and rush through and get all them ratings. You gotta get them ratings. You gotta get them ratings. You gotta get them ratings. I should say views. Fuck you, YouTubers. You need to fucking buckle down and play these goddamn games, right? Bastards. Except Pat. Pat, you keep doing you. You small little bald man, you. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. And hopefully the next Machiavelli of Mine comes faster than this one. I apologize in detail for the absence. But yet again, COVID-19, bro. It fucked everything up in the entire stratosphere. It ruined everything. And it's going to take a little bit to get back to salvation. And hopefully sooner than later. So, thanks again, guys. And that's been Machiavelli's Mind. Love you guys.